This is the summer to expand your horizons. It's time to explore. But before you set foot out the door, set foot in the ultimate travel shoes from Allbirds. Like the breathable, silky smooth Tree Dasher, the responsive foam and extra grip of the Tree Runner, or the classic low-top look of the Tree Piper. Allbirds has a lightweight, ultra-packable shoe ready for whatever adventures you have planned. Boarding pass? Check. Passport? Check. The perfect travel shoe? Check. Find your perfect pair at Allbirds.com. That's Allbirds.com.
Want your most burning finance and investing questions answered? Here's a podcast you should be listening to, courtesy of Acast Recommends.
Are you ready for some personality in your personal finances? Hi, I'm Janice Torres Rodriguez, Latina money expert and host of the award-winning podcast, Yo Quiero Dinero. On this show, we're serving up POC-friendly personal finance knowledge, always with a side of sass. We're not talking about avocado toast and lattes on this show. We've got real, relatable personal finance knowledge that makes you feel seen, heard, and finally understood. Consider me your super cool, slightly risque, but always honest financial fairy godmother. Together, we'll tackle dinero in a fresh new way so you can finally become poderosa with your dinero. Check out our weekly podcast episodes at YoQuieroDineroPodcast.com or subscribe wherever you listen to podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
Hello and welcome to this week's episode of Educating Josh, in which the three of us, James O'Neill, I, Luke Cutforth, and our special guest, the YouTuber Leah Hatzakis, bringing together three of the most divisive stories of the week. Our wonderful Josh Winslabe will have 20 seconds to respond with his gut feeling on the story with absolutely no research, after which we will have an attempt at Educating Josh.
Woo!
I think that was a great.
I like your enthusiasm, Leah. Welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, guys. I'm one of those YouTubers that doesn't mind being called a YouTuber, so I'm thrilled to be here.
Very refreshing. You guys didn't meet Leah last time, did you?
I was on tour, which makes me sound really
cool.
You're
such a celeb.
I was with you on tour.
He was driving around in his own car meeting people in parks.
So let's not.
It's not that cool.
Sorry to shoot you down, Luke.
Exactly.
Ed Sheeran, am I? Okay, so last week we had two special guests, but my story was first, and I asked, should venues be held legally responsible for deaths caused by events on their property? And we have, I think, the most divided audience of all time here. 43% yes, 45% no, and 12% other.
I think it is a fine line, isn't yes. it? I think the only way to do it, though, is that everyone should be responsible when it comes to a death.
I liked what you said, which was everyone should think they're responsible. Everyone should treat themselves as, could I have done something better?
Rather than go, how responsible am I and how much can I get away with?
And if everyone did that, we wouldn't have to legislate for it.
Yeah,
everyone
exactly.
just took on the burden. Okay, and AK on Twitter said, people need to take responsibility for their own actions. Thank you, Josh, for that point. And AK as well. If I punch someone at Argos, it's my responsibility, not the shop's. I love that. And please don't punch someone at Argos.
I mean, that's very true, but I think in this situation there was it's about
it's different because Argos didn't choose to put on a mosh pit
or allow that to happen,
and
or
there was high security
so I completely agree with you, AK, but it's a little bit more complicated than that.
Second last week was Ben's story. James, could you please tell us how it performed in the polls?
This was also quite divided. Ben's question was, is it time that we close zoos? And 49% of people said yes, 44% said no.
It's like we have the Brexit voters listening.
No one can make up their minds on anything.
I thought it would go completely the other way. I thought it would be pretty much fully yes.
Yeah.
So I think if that was my initial reaction, I think I did an okay job of representing the other side of that initial knee-jerk reaction to pull it to where it is, if that makes sense. But I think especially in the case of this one, definitely go out there, do some research yourself, and look at your local zoos that you've been going to and see whether you agree with going to them or not.
Weird thing that happened to me the day after we recorded that episode, I've been invited to go and look after big cats on a zoo.
Oh, yeah.
And so I'm going to do that first-hand research, and I'll come back and tell you whether it's okay or not.
That sounds amazing. Like a nice zoo. That sounds like a zoo that wants to help animals and not just be like, here's an animal, look at it.
So I'll tell you what that's like in about 4 months when I do that.
Okay.
Speaking of research and helping animals, Ella on Twitter said, zoos provide a huge basis for research on diseases and epigenetics in animals that can benefit the species as a whole in the long run. Although national parks are often a happy medium, zoos serve a purpose.
Nice. Mm. I love that we get a whole different thing which we didn't think about when we listened to the polls.
Yeah, I don't think any of us raised that point, so that's really good.
And third was Zara's question. Leah, how did that perform?
So Zara's question was, should there be a minimum age for being an influencer? Good question.
Mm.
Yes, 61% of the people... 61% said yes, 35% said no, and 4% said something else.
What do you think?
I think... there should be, yeah.
Yeah, really this was in regards really to that, to the one-year-old baby that's now got 15,000 followers on Instagram.
You what?
Who's, oh my God.
Whose mother doesn't allow other family members to take pictures because it would interfere with it, with
his
their brand.
The brand of the baby.
The brand of the baby.
Oh, I can't deal. Daniel said on Twitter, the kid doesn't care right now. It's going to grow up rich. People are only upset because they're jealous.
You tell
maybe
me
that's
so.
True.
I think that's a little bit true.
There's probably some truth in
you
that.
You know, when you see like kids on Instagram wearing like a Rolex and just driving a Range Rover and you're like...
Sorry, what kids do you follow on Instagram? Saudi princes.
Guys, they're on the Explore page. You'd be lying if you say you don't look at it.
That became a trend, didn't it? Like the Instagram flexing or whatever it was called.
What, is that just like
showing that's been popular
how much...
since the beginning, I think.
Okay.
I don't pay enough attention to the internet.
Neither do I.
Forbes just released a list of the top 10 highest earning YouTubers, and number one was like an 8-year-old kid.
It's the boy that opens unboxes.
Ryan Unboxed Toys or something. I can't
wow.
Yeah, he dwarfs
people. Oh, Ryan Reviews.
He made subscribers as well.
But he made not.
No. PewDie's the biggest in subscribers, and this is a PSA. We need to keep PewDie above T-Series.
Yes. Everyone subscribe
to PewDiePie. I'm so glad you're following that.
Everyone subscribe to PewDiePie, please. He's the most in subscribers, but the boy unboxes is so much bigger in terms of views. It's
can't
ridiculous.
Wait to go home and watch
he
him.
Made like 20 million last year.
All right, well, thank
million.
You.
Wait.
$20 million.
Wow.
Or 22, I can't remember.
What am I doing with my life?
All right, well, thank you for your responses in the polls. It is time for the first story of the week, and that is my story. Okay, so my story this week comes from The Guardian, and it is that Kevin Hart steps down as Oscars host after 3 days of controversy. Here are the three things you need to know. Last week, comedian Kevin Hart posted an apology to the LGBTQ+ community on Twitter for his past insensitive words. He said, "I've made the choice to step down so as not to become a distraction." This came after a significant number of Hart's tweets in which he used homophobic slurs were reposted on Twitter. A video of a 2010 stand-up special in which Hart delivered an extended joke based on the fear of his 3-year-old son being gay also resurfaced. Whilst some have come to Hart's defense, many argue that rather than step down, he should have just been fired. My question for you, Josh, is a simple one. Should Kevin Hart have stepped down?
I think in this situation, he's done the right thing in stepping down for the reason that he's given, in that he would have drawn too much attention to this. He stepped away. The press can't pick up on it anymore. He's basically made it a non-story, and the awards can go ahead as they should.
Ding, ding, ding. End of your 20 seconds.
That's the end of the 20 seconds.
Ding, ding, ding. Is that the official bell?
The thing is, though, I don't necessarily agree that he... I don't think he's responsible for comments made in the past. I think that's where I differ with a lot of people.
I think
trends change.
The majority of his comments were in 2009 and like mid 2010.
It's
and
such
then when
a long
his
time
when
ago.
His first special was released, he like you can search the word gay on Kevin Hart's Twitter, and it stopped after 2010. He hasn't tweeted the word gay since.
So I think that is someone that is. I think people are being very quick to jump on him for this.
Yeah,
but how scared are you going to be to change your opinion? The whole thing is that we want to change people's opinions. He clearly has, right? He's clearly decided at some point in his kind of career that actually now I've been educated, or someone's made a comment to him, or his family have said something, or a friend said something. He's decided, as things have progressed in the world, that's not an appropriate form of humor anymore. And he has naturally done that. So why then be condemned for something you've done in the past? Could he not have just gone, yeah, I did used to think that was funny. I then realized it's not okay. I changed that behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah, completely.
I think if people want him fired, they should have had him fired in 2010 from his live special or whatever.
Yeah, and the reason they didn't
when it happened
was because back then they were all laughing along to it.
Yeah. Yes.
Exactly. I think what's really interesting about this as well was just before he stepped down, he posted on Instagram saying he'd received a message from the Academy saying, if you don't apologize, then we will fire you. And what he chose to do in response was actually quite interesting. He chose not to apologize. And the reason for that was not from the point of view of what you've said, Josh, in that times change. His point was, I've already apologized in the past. It's not my problem this has been resurfaced. I'm not going to apologize for something someone else has done, which I thought was really interesting.
This has come up a few times, it does align with what I've said, though, in that he's not going to apologize for an opinion that he's already changed.
Yes.
Yeah.
And something that he's already developed and been through. And I think if you create this world where everything you've done in the past you're responsible for and can be brought up, that is a world of fear. Fear versus open arms and open-mindedness is always going to create an environment that's toxic. Mm. And you can't just use that when it's a positive thing, when it's positive thinking. That has to be applied to people that have done wrong as well. And he's very clearly himself educated himself and changed his opinion on what is okay and what isn't. Mm-hmm. And to be fair, a lot of people could make a good argument that comedy is comedy. Nothing is barred in the realm of jokes. Mm. And that stand up with his son, I've seen it. It's very funny. I can laugh at a stereotype. It's absolutely hilarious. And he uses a stereotype for comedic purpose. And I think for me personally, that normalizes something for me, as opposed to reinforces those stereotypes. So I think he's done everything he can. I do find it fascinating that he has received that message and gone, still kind of apologized and said, what I'm going to do, though, is step down so it doesn't detract from the event.
It's incredibly...
These tweets have come up a few times in the past already,
I came into this sort of with the view of a very cynical point of view, because obviously this isn't the first time we've had someone have a bad joke and then step down in inverted commas, right? Because I see that generally as they're stepping down. Like when you have a job and you do something wrong, you're given the opportunity to resign rather than to go through the sort of social ramifications of being fired. Right? Yeah. And I'm very cynical about that, and I think that shouldn't really be allowed. This is James's story, and I didn't realize quite how... I see Kevin Hart as quite noble now. I think this is lovely.
I think he's very noble. I've got a lot of friends who... That is always the worst way to start a sentence.
I've got a lot of friends.
I've got with
friends.
Anything to do with racism or... it's that
my
person that goes,
gay, so I can
I'm not racist, my best friend's black. Like, that's the worst thing you can say. But no, I have friends who are in... ethnic minorities and are of a sexuality that is quite difficult in today's world. And if I said something wrong and their response was to be angry at me, the first time I did it, or, do you know what I mean? Then I probably wouldn't be as close to them as I am.
They're not allowing you to make mistakes, honest mistakes.
Yeah. Because my base compass of morals aligns with theirs. It's just that I'm not as aware of the issues that conflict them or that affect them.
I do think about this a lot.
And I shouldn't have to be.
Yeah. I think about this a lot with regards to things like the gay community or the trans community, etc.
Yeah.
You have to, I think when somebody is sort of slightly... conservative towards that. I think you have to remember that you as a gay man or you as a whatever you are, as whatever kind of minority, you've gone through an awful lot of thinking. You've got all the working that's got you to the point you are. And then you suddenly are ready to tell everyone, well, they haven't been through that journey. They're just suddenly having this thrown on them. Yeah. And they go, whoa, what? That's not how I thought the world worked. I thought you were straight. Or I thought you were whatever. Mm. And you have to allow them time to come to terms with that.
Yeah. Mm.
If they don't, obviously lynch them or whatever. Yeah. But
well, I mean, there's if someone said, hey, I'm not comfortable with you using that word, or I repeatedly called a trans man she, or, you know, if I was messing up like that repeatedly and I didn't change it, then I would very much expect that person to be angry with me. And I do try and change my behavior. I notice a lot at work at the moment, I'm using they, them pronouns a lot of the time. And when I don't, I catch myself. And it's not actually something that affects me. I'm not bothered by it, but I'm naturally doing it because a lot of my close friends are bothered
you
about it.
You did it with me just then when we were having a tea.
Yeah,
I was like, oh, because my mum's got a new partner, and you said, oh, what's he like, or what's she like? And
I corrected myself. I thought, I'm really sorry.
Nice that you said, like,
Josh, you transformed into your new evolution, your Pokemon.
Next stage.
And the other thing about this is, and James, you can probably shed some light on this, maybe, but like, I would be of the personal opinion that comedy's done a lot to normalize people of different colors, people of different sexualities, and make it a more real thing. But if I can make a joke out of something, I normalize with it more personally. Yeah. I think comedy's done a lot for gay people and for bi people, lesbian. Yeah, yeah. I think comedy has done a lot in that regard.
I think my experience as a gay person, I went through so much like confusion and, well, not confusion, maybe that's the wrong word, but so much, it's been like Luke said, it's been a long journey of like sadness and depression and, oh, what the hell's going on? How am I ever going to come to terms with this? And then seeing it represented in comedy makes it, to me, it makes it okay to laugh at, and I don't have to take myself so seriously anymore.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure if there was a rule that you can't make gay jokes in comedy,
yeah,
would you not have more of a problem with that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, in
it's
a way,
all
yeah.
about whether you punch down or you punch up.
Yeah.
If you're punching down at somebody, if being gay is the butt of the joke in a negative way.
I think often it depends on the context of the jokes, but...
Because, yeah, for example, in the example of Kevin Hart talking about his son being gay as a potential, that you can see that in a not a positive light. I'm not necessarily defending that, but you can see that as a, if you're a father and you want your child to have children, you can. That's probably quite a difficult thing.
This is probably a genuine insecurity that Kevin Hart has maybe had and like gone through.
Because what's the purpose of having a child at the end of the day? Pass your genes on. If you have a child that then won't pass those genes on, which obviously in the new world, gay people hopefully will be able to pass their genes on. Yeah. But in that moment, it must be quite a scary thing for the bits of you that don't understand.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, well, I'm not going to have grandchildren.
Grandkids.
That's sad.
Yeah.
You do feel like you've lost something.
And also, comedy evolves in I think even now when I hear something about... jokes about women being at the kitchen sink and things like that. I'm like, that is so boring.
Oh, it's
that's
so old,
not funny. It's not relevant.
Although, I just laugh at it because I know it's not funny. That's why I laugh at
it. Well, there's a big movement on, not to plug TikTok, but there's a big movement on TikTok of girls making that joke.
Of women making those
jokes.
And
they find it hilarious.
It is quite funny.
Hey, gamer boys, don't worry, I've made you a sandwich. I'll get back in the kitchen now.
I find that more funny because it's not a paid comedian who's written out a show and then gone up on stage in front of thousands of people.
Yeah, if a paid comedian did that, I'd be like, you're not good at your job.
Yeah.
This has been done.
To be fair, though, I do feel really sorry for celebs that have like old tweets come up and haunt them.
Yeah.
I just think people are fishing online for something to bring someone down. And yeah, I do think he did the right thing stepping down, but he made this joke in 2010. He's educated himself since then.
Josh, at the start of this story, I'm sorry, we do have to move on, but at the start of this story, you had this to say.
I think in this situation, he's done the right thing in stepping down for the reason that he's given, in that he would have drawn too much attention to this. He stepped away. The press can't pick up on it anymore. He's basically made it a non-story, and the awards can go ahead as they should. Yeah, he's done the right thing, I think. I agree with that. But I don't think, you know, in the purest like ideal world, he shouldn't have had to have stepped down, I believe. Yeah.
I hope he gets something else from this.
I mean, he
if
will
he's done
be,
the good thing.
I think he will because of how he's acted.
All right, you can let us know what you think over on Twitter in our polls at Educating Josh. It is time for the second story of the week, and that is James's story.
My story comes from The Mirror, and the headline is, campaigners want Pogue's fairy tale of New York censored over homophobic lyric. These are the three things you need to know. Campaigners have called for the homophobic slur faggot to be banned from the Christmas song Fairy Tale of New York. In a statement from Shane McGowan, the Pogue's frontman, he said the word was used by the character because it fitted with the way she would speak and with her character. She is not supposed to be a nice person or even a wholesome person. Her dialogue is as accurate as I could make it, but she is not intended to offend. However, the debate brings into question how we deal with cultural shifts and how we should address problematic art from the past. My question to you, Josh, is should we censor the word faggot in the Fairy Tale of New York?
20 seconds, Josh. Go!
Absolutely. I 100% think that that word should be changed. Times have changed, and that word means something completely different now, and does nothing for the song. Changing it would deteriorate it.
All right, what do you guys think? I have a feeling James is going to massively disagree on this one.
Well, not massively disagree, because I'm actually kind of on the fence about this, because I think there's two really loud opposing arguments that I think are wrong. I think are both slightly wrong in their own way. So the big outcry is that this word should be banned because it's just offensive, and some people have had it shouted at them in the past, which of course is awful, and it's a bad word that no one, you know, I'd rather it not be used against anyone, but
yeah.
I'm of the opinion that I quite I don't encourage people to use the word around me, but I'm okay with it because I don't want reclaiming words is like kind of empowering or whatever. Mm. I find the way that the word queer used to be used against gay people and now it's reclaimed and it's fine now. People use it and it's a fine word. At the same time, the word I think in the song has two interpretations. The old meaning of the word faggot and the...
Which
the,
is...
What's the old meaning?
The old... Well, there's kind of been a couple. It used to mean a bundle of sticks, which then...
What did they intend it to mean in the song?
Well, this is the thing. Some people are saying that it was intended to be used in describing a lazy person, which is how it used to...
Slut used to mean lazy person.
Yeah, exactly.
Well.
Oh, exactly like that. But that was used in... I've kind of like traced back the word. Researching for this. Well, and that was used in the 1800s, whereas this song was released in 1987.
Yeah. Well, there's one... The singer that sang it never said the word live.
Yeah.
She refused to say it.
Really?
Yeah. So I she herself wouldn't sing it. But it's been recorded that way. It's how it's played. The thing that I find uncomfortable with it is when I'm in a pub or a bar and it's being done this for karaoke or sung, that line is shouted by every person in the building.
The big thing,
it's a lot of people's favourite Christmas song, probably for that reason.
For that
just
line.
A bit like,
and the thing that makes me uncomfortable is people hide behind the argument that, oh, it had a different meaning. And it means there's other things.
How often
but people but exactly, people know
people
what it means
give
now.
Give a shit about meanings. This really annoys me because who cares? Who cares? If you have 1 million people and 100,000 of them are offended, and all you have to do is change a word in a song, re-record it with a new artist, someone that sounds similar, and drop a line in, and 100,000 people don't get offended, why are you so bothered about not changing it?
Because they want to be able to say a
word. I don't necessarily agree with that from the point of view of, like, we don't own that song. The song exists as it exists. If you want to continue playing it, it's not really our decision whether we go and modify it.
If you're hurting a lot of people, what is your argument for not changing it? Because if it's just that you're ignoring the situation, I've recorded it, I've said it, it's fine, whatever, then you're just ignorant.
My argument for not changing it, or my argument for sort of having been, this is a little bit of a tangent, but having been bullied relentlessly during my school years, it's not, I don't think that the solution to bullying is to tell people to not bully.
Yeah.
The real solution to bullying was for me to become stronger so the bullying doesn't affect me. And that's not a nice thing to hear, and obviously people get hurt by this. Now, on what you were saying there...
Yeah, no, but to go back to that, I don't agree with that, because you're then saying that this stuff exists, expose yourself to it and become stronger, and I don't agree with that. I agree. I think that some things are hurting people, and if it's something that is probably one of the most popular Christmas songs and once a year you have to hear a whole room full of people sing it the loudest part,
scream it.
I don't know. I agree with you, Luke. I mean, I think, you know, if you can't change something, just change the way you think about it.
Yeah,
and
which,
it's a song, it exists, it's going to be played. Where does this, if you're going to start changing words in songs from however many years ago, is it 30 years ago?
It were
where does when does this end?
Yeah.
What, how I know I but again
I mean but the songs have been changed.
Are you aware of
there's a nursery
are you,
rhyme?
Are you aware that
changed.
Bar Bar Black Sheep?
Bar
has been
Bar
changed.
Black Sheep.
What's it changed?
Bar Bar
to?
Black Sheep got
Bar
changed.
Bar Rainbow Sheep because.
Yeah. But everyone at the time that
because
happening.
Bar Bar,
oh, that was
Bar Bar Black Sheep was apparently related to the slave trade.
Okay, right. I didn't know that.
Now that's different. But, yeah. that's different because context is important there because it was deliberately a racist thing.
Yeah.
But whereas the Pogues aren't saying, yes, we were deliberately being homophobic here. That I would think, be a different thing, in which case, don't play the song.
But I think they were deliberately using the
slur. But
what
would be wrong with
way?
The Pogues going, oh yeah, we've realised this means something different in
well,
this
that's
day
a different
and
thing,
age.
Though, because they haven't done that.
Why?
Well, I don't know, but they have, because I assume they don't intend this to be a homophobic
I agree with you in a sense that they have every right to not change it. I just don't agree with their reasons. I don't understand. It's not a precious thing. It's not a staple of language. It's not, you know, maintaining cultural like integrity. It's nothing to do with that. There's no reason to defend it.
But imagine if they did change it. Wouldn't it just add more like fire? Imagine all the people
for
on Twitter
about,
that were
for
like,
about a year and then people would learn the new song it. And people would be over it. Okay. And then the people that still persisted in shouting out that during the time is because I remember about 10-15 episodes ago I defended Eminem's use
Eminem
of it.
Used it in his new album
in his song, and because he's a if you don't like that kind of music you don't listen to it.
That music is intended to hurt.
It's intended to hurt. It's intended to cause offence and insult. Whereas...
this is a Christmas
song. I don't think that's what the Pogues are trying to do.
Oh, no, they're not.
What you were saying there, Josh, is one of the things you said earlier was you said that you're in a bar and these a bunch of people shout it. And if you are a gay man who's sort of still struggling to come to terms with it, I don't necessarily think, as I was a bit harsh earlier and said, like, just... but deal with it, right? That's I'm obviously being a little bit over harsh.
But I don't think that's necessarily wrong.
I don't necessarily think that when a bunch of people go, you cheap, nasty, I'm not necessarily going to say it.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think, I think they probably have a little bit of latent homophobia. But I think the want to do that is really just the whole year they're told you can't say this word and they're just sort of having a little mini rebellion.
It's
and
a context
going,
in which they can get away with this.
They just, so no, but I don't so think then, from a homophobic point of view, just because it's like, it's fun to rebel. It's like when people speak.
So you think we should be able? So in that sense, you think we should have the N-word?
When you can read it out, like if you're reading To Kill a Mockingbird and the word comes up, you can read it. Yeah, I think that's
if the context is important, it already exists. Yes. All I mean is, I don't think that when people, most people, when they go you cheat and shout it and they're excited about saying it, I don't think necessarily that that comes from a point of view of homophobia. It comes from the point of view of loving to be a bit rebellious and say a naughty word, like how you say you grow up and say fuck in front of your mum, which I am always excited about that because like, oh, I said fuck in front of my mum. That's so exciting.
No, I agree, but also their little enjoyment of that isn't worth or on par with how it would affect someone else in my mind. So I think you can change the word, and I just don't see the argument for not changing it, because all the arguments that are against changing it are just technical. It's like excuses. There isn't one that comes across that doesn't sound like an excuse. Whereas the people on the other side, all they're saying is, okay,
this
great,
word makes me uncomfortable,
but it makes me uncomfortable and it hurts me.
Well, they're not don't play the song.
No,
I don't
it's,
think
it's the most popular
if you,
song on radio.
Yes, I know, but
if you can't
come up with any more interesting songs, then don't, like, that's pathetic from my point of view. I think that
on whose part?
On the songwriters of the world, I guess. But what I mean is that I don't think we should erase history. That is the way that the song was. It's like when you read Winnie the Pooh and says Winnie the Pooh was feeling particularly gay, right? You don't change that to happy because gay meant that to A.A. Milne.
Because the whole point is change. I don't agree. The
whole
point
write a new book.
Is about changing. Exactly.
You don't say gay in Harry
writing,
Potter because it doesn't mean
that's
gay anymore.
Writing that you change the book. It's like this, most of this and parts of this are correct. However, certain things in our culture have changed.
All right, so Josh, at the start of this story, you had this to say.
Absolutely. I 100% think that that word should be changed. Times have changed, and that word means something completely different now, and does nothing for the song. Changing it would deteriorate it. I still completely agree with that. I think both sides have very good arguments as to why they're right, but only one side results in less people being hurt. So I do think that I agree with that original statement.
All right, well, you can let us know what you think over on Twitter in our polls at Educating Josh. It is time for the last story of the week. That is Leah's story.
Oh, okay, here we go. My story comes from the Evening Standard, and the headline is O2 Network Down. Customers in the UK furious over coverage problems and service issues. The three things that you need to know, Josh, are... last week, furious O2 customers vented their frustration online as one of Britain's biggest mobile networks faced major network problems. Thousands of affected phones were simply failing to show any data connection during the outage. O2 has apologised and already set out how it plans to compensate customers. Those with a monthly subscription will be refunded the cost of 2 days' service by the end of January. However, with it becoming the top trending topic on Twitter, and with 25 million people affected, it has brought into question just how dependent we are on our phones. So the question is, Josh, are we too reliant on mobile phones?
20 seconds, Josh. Go.
I think we we're more reliant on our mobile phones than we actually are. So...
Josh has personal experience of this recently.
Okay.
I got fed up of Apple, which isn't very popular at the moment, and decided to move away from the Apple platform. Basically, I just got bored. I wanted to have a new thing to play with.
Okay.
And swapped over to Android. And I had 2 days where I didn't have a phone. And the first day was weird. it was so weird. It was realizing that I had to ask people for directions when I went into central London to find out where the specific shop was that I wanted. Mm. It was really interesting. It made me communicate more. And also, I had way more fun. Like, just really? Nipping into town felt fun.
Yeah. Did you have, like, a brick phone or anything for, like, emergency mobile phone?
So I had texts and phone calls.
Yeah, the classic.
Yeah. So I had texts and phone calls.
Because I think when we say, are we too reliant on mobile phones, I think what we mean is, are we too reliant on
smartphones.
The internet or smartphones or, having data.
The extra
features. Like when you're on holiday and you can't switch the data. Well, you can
having
now in Europe.
Having the internet constantly.
Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, even anywhere in Europe, all my data's still there. So it
yeah.
is... But I don't actually think, because me and you, Luke, have had a debate a lot of times where you see almost access to the internet and a smart feature device as almost a human right, and to be able to use it without worrying about data.
I don't see it as a human right.
So you've said it's a requirement. It's almost a human right.
I've said that it's become so entwined in our society that it's difficult to exist without it.
And therefore, for things like data...
So I consider it a form of poverty. It is considered by the human rights legislation to be a form of poverty if you don't have access to the internet.
Right, but then you talk about things and still did my work absolutely fine.
Okay.
Still text people. And it's just things like Facebook, I had to wait till I got home. Instagram, I waited till I got home. I took a camera out with me, which was nice.
That's nice.
What?
Took a camera out with me. I was taking pictures. I got really creative with it. It forced me to just be less lazy. It just... You know, it became really interesting. Yeah. So I
think your story is really interesting to me because I actually love your story because I met you on that day and you were like, I've been talking to people and it's so exciting. But yeah. I think I disagree with you on the conclusion. I think it does show that we are entirely reliant on mobile phones because it changes our lives so drastically when we lose them.
It does, but I think you can easily function without it. That's the misconception. You can cope. You get your emails when you're home.
Yeah.
And what it does do, which is amazing, is it compartmentalizes your life. You are not constantly exposed to 7 different forms of communication.
Exactly. You're not always like at the beck and call of a WhatsApp group.
Yeah, exactly.
And, you know, if you just had a phone that did texting and calling, then you could really actually be really smart with your time.
Yeah.
And you could be like highly productive. You know, when you read books about like highly productive people and they're like, I do 1 hour of email replying between 11 and 12.
And I
don't look at my emails unless it's between 11
reading,
and 12.
You've been reading Tim Ferriss.
Yeah, I love him. Yeah. I love him.
But I agree with that. That's a great way
this
to
This is
exist,
amazing. Imagine waking up and not checking your phone because you're not replying to what other people want from you. You're like, I wake up and I do my most important thing. And for you that day, it was nipping into town.
Yeah.
And that was great.
It sounds kind of sad when you put it like that.
But you know.
I think that what I have done since receiving my new phone, however, is turn notifications off for most apps.
Mm.
So it still kind of limits your exposure to things.
Actually, I've started that. I've always got my phone on Do Not Disturb now.
Yeah.
So does that not annoy you for phone calls though when you miss a call? No.
Do you think we're in the middle? Because I get the sense that because there's more and more people I hear saying things like that, like James has just said, and I get the feeling like we're in the resurgence of like people taking back their individual liberty and going, I'm not a slave to my phone.
Yeah, I know.
It's like it's taken us 10, 15 years to suddenly realize what's happened.
Does that not make sense though?
I think it's a really interesting one as well because this is to a certain extent, I think, to O2 and to the general phone industry in the UK. This is the nightmare, not because it will lose the money, but because actually spending a day without your phone makes you realize how bad it is. When you lose it, you suddenly go, it's like you've woken up and you go, oh, I can be a person again and I can talk to people and ask for directions.
Yeah.
And that...
Well, I think the problem with the O2 coverage was they did lose phone signal as well. Like, they couldn't phone and text.
Oh, no, I think they could phone and text.
They could phone and text.
Yeah, because that was the only way I could talk to my business partner.
It was basically just
day.
4G and 3G. Though.
Oh, so people didn't think they could text because they had no iMessage.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. No iMessage.
Yeah, they had no iMessage. That makes sense. Yeah.
I do think, though, back to the question we were asking about whether we're reliant on mobile phones, I do fear that we are. Because imagine, like, for example, you said, like, I went out with a camera. Well, you happen to own a camera. 5 years from now, it will be quite unusual to own a standalone camera. So if you lose your phone or it breaks,
you've lost everything.
You don't have a camera.
Well, I don't think there's anything wrong with that, but I also disagree with that because you'd still have cameras in a professional sense. Photographers would
not. No, but I mean the individual won't have a personal point and shoot camera. They won't have a place to listen to music. They won't have a way to access their bank. So in terms of being too reliant on mobile phones, because I think what mobile phones do in order to stay competitive is take other industries, destroy them, incorporate them into their phone. If you lose that one device, it smashes or
game
it goes
over.
Out, you lose
That's true.
Everything.
Yeah, everything.
How many disposable cameras have you seen recently?
There's nothing wrong
Literally
with
at quirky weddings, that's
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's it.
I'm not saying...
Oh, every holiday I take, I buy a disposable camera.
Oh my God, guys,
so
let's
pretty.
Buy a disposable camera and take
exactly.
it to the beach.
Yeah. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah.
But if you're discussing whether we're too reliant on mobile phones, that would be evidence to say that we are. All right, Josh, at the start of this story, you had this to say.
I think we think we're more reliant on our mobile phones than we actually are. Yeah, I think I still think that. I can still function and use in my day-to-day, I function very well without a mobile phone. It's a weird experience and I did enjoy it, and I think that's definitely woken me up to kind of using my phone less. But I don't think you should just, you know, get rid of technology or educate yourself more and spend time away from it, for sure. Like we're not, our minds aren't built like that. So it's good to take a break from things. Too much of anything isn't good. So if you just apply that to everything in your life, I think you're going to live a happier life anyway.
All right. You can let us know what you think over on Twitter and our polls at Educating Josh. It is time for the quickfire round. Josh, Barclays has become the first high street bank to allow its customers to switch off certain types of spending on their debit cards. The idea is to help vulnerable customers, particularly problem gamblers, as we spoke about in a previous episode, or those in serious debt. Do you think this is too much of a nannying tactic?
No, because you can turn it off and on yourself. I use that on my mobile phone.
A photographer has outraged public decency by posting a picture of himself apparently having sex on the top of the Great Pyramid. He appears to be in the missionary position with a woman on top of the world-famous landmark. Do you think this is art or public indecency?
I mean, maybe it would have been art if he didn't go for such a basic missionary position.
Oh, dear. Oh, dear God.
Be inventive.
If you're on top of the Great Pyramid, you should, you know, come be on. A bit more flat.
Put some planning.
Put some effort into it, guys. How did they get up there?
That's amazing.
How did he get up there?
I mean,
thank you. Thank you, Leah. Josh, after yet another break-in at a South London pub, The Crown and Anchor, the owner has decided enough is enough and has stopped taking cash at the establishment. Do you think it is time that we all went cashless?
Yes.
Why?
Because you get rid of illegal drug laundering, money laundering and things like
fake
that.
Fake money.
Fake money and crime. People
money laundering.
Who use cash to buy drugs and things like that. If there's no cash, it's just going to be... Imagine walking up to a drug dealer and going, hey, tap my...
iZettle.
iZettle, yeah, exactly.
Oh,
yeah.
Scan your face
I'm a
ID.
Local
scan
dealer.
Your face ID.
And the good news story of the week. A mum... This is sort of good news, Producer Jack. It's also weird news. A mum has mistakenly bought a sheep sex doll for her son's nativity school play. The shepherd outfit was perfect, but when Alfie returned home yesterday with the sheep before his nativity play, he realized something was wrong. Quote, it took forever to blow up. I was stood there blowing and blowing until the air reached its legs. I hurriedly popped the stopper in so that it wouldn't deflate and suddenly spotted the huge hole in the bum.
Stop.
I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
No, that's
so Harry the son said that.
No, the mum said
the
that.
The mum was like That's hilarious.
I like what that means for our producer, Jack, that's good news.
I think that it's a funny story.
It's not bad
news. It's very funny. Although, what website is so, like, can you buy sex toys on Amazon?
I'm going to find this out right now.
I'm pretty sure you can.
Because I thought it was quite separated.
Like, I think I've done that for a prop for a video once. I bought a sex toy. Back.
Yeah, I think that's a very easy, very genuine mistake to make.
Funny.
I don't think she was trying to get her son into bestiality.
Like, oh, especially if it's on Amazon. You could easily just buy something.
Yes, I put inflatable sheep into Amazon and the exact inflatable sheep that is a sex toy is the third result.
Well, but maybe they're now jumping on a trend.
So that's...
That's
so
it.
You wouldn't
would you
think
sex
that would be
would any
a
of you
sex
sex
toy?
This thing?
Why
sure
do they sell that?
Is that the exact one?
Yes, I've seen a picture of it, yeah.
That's hilarious.
Wow.
It says, fashion store, ladies, girls, hen night, party, night out, fancy dress, party, sheep. I think it's all the key words.
That is that code?
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you so much for listening to this week's episode of Educating Josh. And thank you to Leah for joining us again.
Yay, Leah.
Pleasure.
Where
Thanks
can people
me.
Find you, Leah?
I'm at Leah Hats on everything.
Nice. Hats with an S or a Z?
With a Z. With
Clarify a Z. Your brand
here
L-I-A-H-A-T-Z.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram and also follow at Leah Hats on Instagram or Facebook or Twitter, where there'll be polls and content from each of today's topics, and we'd love to hear your thoughts. We also want to hear your next stories for next week's quickfire round. More inflatable sex toys, please. Please go subscribe and most importantly, leave a review over on Apple Podcasts or your podcast app of choice. This has been Educating Josh, a Studio 71 production. We'll see you next week for another episode of Educating Josh. Goodbye.
Bye.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Josh. Oh, no. No, they're here. They're invading.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win, and support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Want to join a film club that has real, frank discussions talking about films that you actually want to watch?
Well, then look no further, because we are Frank Film Club with me, Maisie Williams. And each week we watch a film and then come together and obsess over it, or sometimes absolutely slate it. Either way, there's always a lot to say. And the films that we pick range all the way from like 90s and noughties classics all the way up to new releases that are coming out every single week. And sometimes we get our listeners to pick for us.
And we all work in the film industry, don't we, ladies?
Indeed.
So we really love to look at specifically how a film was made.
So if this sounds like your bag, then come and have a listen to Frank Film Club. And remember, absolutely everyone is welcome in this club.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.